D-Mace Vingen and Donick 102.5, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. The big news of the day in Nashville, Tennessee. Predators GM Barry Trotz has announced his retirement plans. Reading from the team's news release, Trotz will step down as soon as a new GM is in place. The search will begin immediately. Trotz will remain with the organization as an advisor through his contract term, which is the 2026-2027 season. And joining us to discuss all that is Predators CEO Sean Henry. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on. I think the search started at about 8:34.
Okay.
After Elliot tweeted it out, because then my phone started lighting up.
Well, we have Elliot Freeman on the program coming up next.
I know. That's why I mentioned his name. I'm just laying down his rose petals for him. I'm like a warm-up act for that guy. He's not even from America.
We have adopted him. We have adopted him as part of our city. But yes, Elliot Freeman, who did break the news today, will join us right after Sean Henry. Don't let Sean sell himself short. He is more than just a warm-up act.
That's true. I'm the opening act. He's nothing. He's just following after me.
So here's a question that I have seen a lot since this news became public this morning. Why today? As it says in the news release, Trotz told Bill Haslam in December that he would be stepping down at the conclusion of his contract. Quote, after some discussion, we elected to begin a search for my replacement now. So why today? Why not a week ago? Why not at the start of the calendar year? Why was today the day that this was announced?
Well, I think if we did it January 1st or a week ago or a week from now, your question would say, why today? So, people seem to think that, you know, Bill and Barry, or me and Bill, speak every 9 weeks. Barry and I talk 3 or 4 times a day. I mean, literally. Bill speaks to me at least once a day, Barry about once a day, the three of us together, probably weekly, at least on a phone call or Zoom, in person every other week. So when Barry first started talking about, hey, my contract's up at the end of next year, this is kind of what I'm thinking from a personal standpoint. What does that mean for the team? Then you start rounding that out. What does it mean for the team? We start thinking about what the next steps are. When's the best time to replace you? When we are in the middle of, you like using the words, almost rebuild or whatever you're weird about, what we're doing or not doing. But where are we as an organization? We are resetting where we are, right? We are obviously, you missed the playoffs 2 out of the past 3 years. This year we're sitting a couple points out of the playoffs. Who knows what's going to happen moving forward? We are definitely in the middle of resetting who we are. You look at our draft picks, the prospects that we have. Things are pretty rosy. Do you want to replace Barry as the GM this year or next year? And then when Barry starts talking about it, he said, well, I think the right time is at the end of the season. So if we're going to do it at the end of the season, when do you want to start that search? Well, you know there's going to be 2 or 3 openings that are out there. So if you were one of the first ones to publicly say we're going to be doing this, number one, you're going to shake the tree a little bit for maybe a candidate or two that you're not thinking about, that's not on your radar. Maybe it's someone that might think about extending their contract right now with their existing team. Maybe they slow that down a little bit now for a chance to talk to us. So we thought the time was pretty good right before the Olympics, from some personal time for some different people. Today was the best day instead of tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday. So we figured let's do it now. Let's take advantage of the Olympic break. Let's see get really, really organized, make some phone calls, field all the inbound they're going to get. I mean, honestly, for myself, I've probably gotten 12 different people reaching out personally for themselves or for one of their candidates or for their brother-in-law who's really good at fantasy hockey. But right away, we just forward that everything to CAA. So I think, you know, a week, 10 days from now, they're going to be able to say, hey, here's a group of people. How do you whittle that down? How do you look at it? Doesn't mean it's a complete list. There might be some people we can't talk to that we want to because of contractual arrangements, or they just want to see where the team ends up. So that's why it's today. I don't know if that answers the question versus tomorrow or last week, but that's why.
We spoke to Andrew Burnett and Roman Josi this morning before we heard from you and Bill Haslam and Barry Trotz, and both Burnett and Josi seem stunned by this. Burnett said he found out at 8:30 this morning that this was going down. Were the coaches and the players, for lack of a better phrase, Sean, kept in the dark about this? Was this something that they were aware could happen? Were they just shocked that it happened today? Or is this something that they knew nothing about until the news broke this morning?
They knew nothing about it at all. I mean, it was a very, very small group. I mean, really, it was Bill, Barry, myself, over the past, whatever it's been, a month or 6 weeks. And that's how we like to run things. You know, you keep things pretty tight until you know what your plan is going to be. And then you bring one or two more people into the fold. We had a conversation with our ownership group yesterday afternoon and explained to them what we're doing and what Barry wants to do. It's the right time for Barry for a lot of reasons. You heard those today. I would hate to replace Barry Trotz in any position. I mean, the man really is a legend in our game and most definitely in the city. I mean, he's just an incredible person.
Sean Henry is with us. And, Sean, it was, having been at Barry Trotz's introductory press conference in whatever year that was, 1997, I guess it was, the year before the Predators took the ice. You know, I've seen him at a lot of these things. I remember when he was, stopping his coaching, he had sort of an exit press conference, and then his re-entry a couple years ago. Like, I've been at them all. The thing about him that always stands out is just him, the person, right? He wears the emotions on the sleeve, and that, I think, when you think about what he's going to be remembered for, it's him, the person, as well as the hockey person.
It is, man. Again, you've known him for almost 30 years, and there's no one like him. There's never been a coach like him. There's never been a GM like him. He truly, truly cares about every person he meets. And whether he were a carpenter or a teacher or a policeman or a coach, hockey player, scout, or GM, he's just different. He truly cares about what's happening in the community. He's a force of nature, for the charities that he's passionate about. I mean, he created the Best Buddies chapter in Tennessee, in Washington, D.C., and on Long Island. You think about that. I mean, the man just cares about things, and it's contagious. He didn't say to Pekka and Shea and then later Roman, you should carry this forward, you should do this. They did it because they saw him as a mentor, and I think we all did. I mean, you had a chance to probably do some things because you saw Barry do it. He made getting involved in other people's lives and charities a natural part of who he was. And you see that and you realize, wait a minute, I got to slow down. I'm not that busy. If Barry can do it, I can do it.
I was also thinking this. He really does seem – it's a little bit outside the box. Not everybody does it this way, I think it's fair to say. But it seems like part of his thinking is he wants to set up the next person as well as he possibly can and the organization to give them enough time to find the right person.
And that's where the thing came from. I mean, Barry, when we were talking about coming back as the GM, he was so adamant that all he wanted to do, it sounds small when I say it that way, his goal was to make this organization the best organization in sports, definitely in the NHL, and here are the things we need to do. Here's the 4, 5, 6 things we need to do. Let's take them on. Let's do them. But regardless of where the team is, when my time is done, we're going to be better off today than we were yesterday. He's lived his life that way, and we sure are. We're better today than we were 3 years ago when we re-entered it. I'm looking at our prospect pool. It's absolutely incredible. It's one of the leaders in our league. 7 guys play at World Juniors a month or so ago. You look at who we have playing in juniors and in college. You see the guys on the ice tonight that are really emerging, stepping forward. The guys waiting to get their chance to step into the NHL. And, again, you have this draft coming up and next year's draft with a multitude of picks. The goal is to have a multitude of picks in the top 3 rounds, guys that could really make an impact. Before Adam asked the question, you're going to tank to get into the lottery and hopefully get that number 1 pick. You either want to have the 16th or worst pick or the first pick. Last year we finished 3rd worst. We ended up with the 5th pick. There's no guarantee in our league that if you finish in those bottom, 2, 3, 4, 5, you'll end up with 2, 3, 4, 5 pick. So any orchestrated tank would never happen with our team. With that said, if we miss the playoffs, I sure hope we're drafting number 1. You can't pick that.
Can you explain maybe to the fans about CAA? Bill Haslam, I thought, did a really good job of talking about the committee, but the organization of CAA, I know Nick Saban is a part of the committee as well. Can you explain what that is going to do? Because you hear that in college a lot, right? The search firms and things like that. Confidentiality, I think, is a big part of it, but maybe you can explain how that process will work.
Yeah, so we have not done many searches for GMs in this team's history.
It's like the Steelers,
right? But even when I was in Tampa, we really only replaced our GM 1 time when I was there. And we didn't use a firm. We kind of knew who we were going through. This time around, we thought, we're going to have a lot of people come forward for this job because it's a job people want. I mean, period. There are so many good things with our organization, with our ownership, what's happening in the minor leagues and our prospects. It's also Nashville. I mean, there's some cool things. And it's 1 of 32 jobs. We realized we didn't want to spend, hours every single day and, talking to everyone in the world. Let's bring in, someone that does this for a living. CA has many, many divisions. They're also our consultant on our TV contracts. They're managing some of our construction projects, through what we're doing in the building. So it's kind of a natural to go to their personnel side and bring them in. But truly, they'll organize what we're doing. They'll be, you know, the receiver of everything. Every email I get, every text I get, I forward right to them. Barry will do the same thing. We advise all of our owners and executives to do the same thing. And that's what they do. You know, first thing, they gather them all. They'll wean down that group, you know, initially with a fast call with all of us. Then you'll get it down to X number of people, wean it down again, maybe start some simple interviews, probably wean it down again, then start some live interviews. But having them organize it is a good thing. Having Nick Saban on the committee, I mean, gosh, the guy just builds winners, no matter where he's been at every single level. You know, so it's really going to be fun to, you know, watch him in those meetings. And then you have Michelle Kennedy's, you know, her flair and her passion for what we do and her attention to detail. Chris Segrin, who's one of the minority owners that really assembled the group in 07 and 08 with a, you know, HR background, and he runs businesses as well. And then, you know, Barry knows everyone that's out there. And then I think Bill and I are the slow kids at the table.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, hopefully he's not listening.
Sean, where this team is at, and it can go either way as far as this season. Playoffs, may not. I'm sure when this decision was made in December, with when Barry made the decision with you guys, was there a plan in place on when it does come out? Because we saw it happen across the street with the Titans. They fired their GM in the middle of the season. All of a sudden, their season go downhill. What were the conversations like? Because ultimately we talk about management, but the players, they loved Barry. So it's going to affect them in some way, especially with them being so close on that playoff border.
And they're not just close on playoff border. They're close together. I mean, it's really a cohesive group. Willie, you travel with them. You see it. They're having fun right now. I think the big difference is we didn't fire our GM midseason. Barry is our GM, you know, period. Bill made that point a few times. We talked to the players earlier today, our coaches. So it's not causing any disruption there. I say that it's probably causing a little, like, hey, what the heck? I love the guy. You know, he's been the only GM in my career, or he was my early coach. But, you know, Barry has that type of personality and the relationship with the guys that when he says, I'm not going anywhere, I'm our GM, and Bill says it, and I reinforce it, and then Nick brings it to life, you know, on the road, they feel really good about it because it's Barry's choice. They know some of the things that he's dealing with away from the office, away from the ice, and they recognize that, you know what, it's time for him, you know, to step away. That said, he's stepping away-ish, you know, because he's going to be here as our GM through the end of the season, if not beyond. If we're fortunate enough to hire a GM before the draft, they'll work really closely together to manage that draft, just like David and Barry did. And even next year, he's going to be a resource for that GM, for me, for Bill. I'm excited about that. Very unique people can do what he's trying to take on. But Barry has that skill set and the trust of the players, of the coaches, of all of us.
Well, and one thing I was going to follow up with is what Bill Haslam said about his trust in – it looks like timetables-wise, he will be the GM that will make the big decisions coming up on March the 6th where you have to make the trade deadline stuff, right? Either you're in, you're out on whatever player. But he trusts him that he's got the Predators' long-term interest in mind and not just self-serving, whatever. You could see in the past if there was an outgoing GM, he might just ride it all, roll the dice, and do everything just for that season. But you got to think short-term and long-term.
Well, it's funny. I think we had the same conversation about David Poile.
Yes,
I think we announced
3 years
that
ago.
February 23rd, almost to the date, you know, where we are. And the same question was, what's great about David is you can trust him not to go all in to try to get that cup, you know, before he's done. Same conversation. Barry and Dave are cut from a very similar mold of I'm always going to do what's right for the organization today and long-term. And as much as saying Barry's going to make the decision on what we do or what we don't do, he's not. The locker room's going to. You know, the players are going to decide what happens based on where we are. And, you know, tonight's game, the next three games are really important. Coming out of the break, really important games. If we find ourselves sitting in you know, the playoffs, probably look at it slightly differently. If we're sitting outside of the playoffs, a little bit differently. Not wholesale changes between the two, but a little different.
This was a big press conference where Bill Haslam really took a lot of leadership, I thought. And that was interesting. That's probably the first time that a lot of the Predator fans saw that. But you've been watching him you know, for the last couple years, really, as he's worked his way up into this position. Tell us about that process, because I really felt like he looked like a leader today.
Yeah, it's a really odd balance, I think, for any owner, but especially someone like Bill. Bill knows there are times when he should be the public face of the organization, but he doesn't need to be on things that aren't quite as important. But he recognizes there are certain things, GM decisions, coaches' decisions, hopefully CEO decisions, where he should put himself out there. And not just put himself out there, but be the MC, be the voice, the first voice and the last voice, because that's what he is. I mean, he's the one that made the investment. At the same time, I like what he's built, or has continued to carry on what Herb did and Tom before him. The GM's going to run, you know, the hockey side, and business going to run the business side. We'll all work really closely together, and he's going to set that tone and the pulse that we're on, the direction we're going, challenge it here and there. But he doesn't need to be the public side of what we're doing every day. But when you have a big, big decision, he owes it to himself. He owes it to his other owners, all the staff, all the players, and most importantly, the fans, to say, this is what I'm thinking, this is why I'm thinking it, and this is why I'm here right now. Because it's important.
Predators CEO Sean Henry has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick as we react to the news from earlier today that Barry Trotz announced his intention to retire as GM of the Nashville Predators. Sean, thank you as always for joining us. And, oh, yeah, there's a game tonight.
A big game tonight, man. Get on out here. Get your USA jersey. We all hate the Blues when we play them. So let's have some fun tonight. And please say hello to my good friend, Elliot Friedman.
This may come as a shock to people, but it's a dad's trip for the St. Louis Blues.
It is incredible. I assume it's Vegas, us, Tampa, and probably Florida.
Yeah.
Lead the league every year in dad's or mom's trips, sponsor trips. And you just hope the dads took them out last night and had a great time with their lads.
Sean, thank you so much for your time. 615-737-1025. We will take your reaction all show long to the news that Barry Trotz intends to retire as GM of the Predators. He will continue to serve as GM until the organization identifies his successor. A comprehensive search for the Predators' new GM will begin immediately with the goal of finding the best possible candidates for the role. Trotz will assist with the selection of the new GM and will remain with the organization as an advisor through his contract term, the 2026-2027 season. Hey, I'm working here. 615-737-1025. Sportsnet NHL insider Elliot Friedman, who broke this news this morning. He normally joins us on Thursdays. He's going to join us coming up next to talk about how this news is resonating around the NHL. Your reaction all show long. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.